reminder of Nehemiah chapter 8. So you're very welcome to go back and keep that page in your Bible open. And as I make reference to a verse, you can follow along. I gave you just a very short summary of the story in your notes, but the title of the lesson is A Recipe for Restoration, as found in Nehemiah chapter 8. If you're going to restore something, I know you know what that means, but you're going to put something back into its original condition. If you restore something, you're going to say, I'm going to make it like it was at the start, or the beginning, as it was given the first time. So the idea is, perhaps over the course of time, what was original may have, not the same anymore. So we want to restore that. That's what happened in Nehemiah chapter 8. The year is about 476 B.C. when that first return took place. And that means Ezra, Nehemiah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, Zerubbabel, and others led hundreds of thousands of Israelites from the captivity that was in Babylon back to Jerusalem. Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian king, had come in hundreds or so years before and taken them out of Jerusalem to Babylon. Now Nebuchadnezzar, his kingdom has been taken over by Cyrus, king of Persia. Cyrus, in the book of Ezra, chapter 1, verse 2, issues a decree saying, I'm going to let these Israelites who have been taken captive and are now 1,500 miles away from their homeland, I'm going to allow you to go back. And so that's why Ezra, Nehemiah, Haggai, Malachi, Zechariah, Zerubbabel, and others lead this army of Israelites back to Jerusalem. The reason they're going, they're going to go back, and Nehemiah was in charge of rebuilding the walls of the city. We find that Ezra is going to be in charge, or one of the people in charge of rebuilding the temple, along with Zerubbabel, and to set in order the keeping of the book of the law of Moses as given by God. That was the purpose of going back. We're going to set religious things in order. And on this occasion, all the people gathered together, and the book of the law was read by Ezra the priest for 7 days. And when they were reading from the law of Moses, perhaps they got to this part that's found in Leviticus chapter 23. And they discovered that when observing the Feast of the Tabernacles, they were supposed to live in a booth, or we might call it a brush arbor, a tent made out of sticks or brush. And they were supposed to do that during the Feast of the Tabernacles. The Feast of the Tabernacles lasted 7 days, from a Sabbath to a Sabbath day. And it was to be held on the 15th day of the 7th month. So they read that in the law. And after reading that with an explanation from Ezra and the Levites, they said, you know what? We've been observing the Feast of the Tabernacles, but we've been leaving one part of it out. We haven't been living in a booth or a brush arbor while observing that feast. What are we going to do? Well, in fact, it's interesting. They hadn't been doing that for 1,000 years. Nehemiah 8, verse 17. It says, all the congregation of them that were come again out of the captivity, they made booths, and they sat under the booths, since the days of Joshua, the son of Nun, unto that day had not the children of Israel done so. And there was very great gladness, because when they read the book of the law, they saw something that was not done. They said, we need to restore that, and they did it. So, why put in your notes why I tell this story? Well, Romans 15. time were written for our learning. Come on, what can I learn from that Old Testament story? Written for our admonition. Second, the reason why we tell this Old Testament story is because it's possible, even today, for religious people to neglect a command of God. Religious people, even today, just like them, they were the Israelites, God's people. It's possible to neglect the command of God. Or to leave, you know, to leave something out that God recorded in the New Testament. And when we see those things that God said to do in the New Testament, and if we're not doing it, we need to do it. If you're reading in the New Testament, Hebrews 10:25, it says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. And if you're not doing that, you need to restore that. We need to do it. If you're reading in the Bible that in Acts 20:7, on the first day of the week, the disciples gathered together to break bread or keep the Lord's Supper, and you're seeing, well, I do the Lord's Supper, but twice a year. No, they said upon the first day of the week. Oh, but I take it four times a year. No, it says on the first day of the week. Oh, but I take it twice a year. I know you're taking it, but you're leaving part of it out. You need to do it every first day of the week. I need to learn that. Or I read the Bible and I see that baptism is by immersion. Oh, but you know, but we've been sprinkled. No, baptism is immersion, submerging of an individual in water. Oh, but we pour water on their head. No, baptism is immersion. When you read that and get understanding on that, you need to restore what baptism is. Even if you've been doing it differently for 1,000 years. You've been doing that. So that's my tradition. I can't change tradition. Yes, you can. The Word of God says to do it, you need to change it. Then, like Israel in this story, we need that, but God's Word can be understood. You know, Ezra read the law, gave an explanation. They understood it. Paul said in Ephesians, I put this in the notes. No, I didn't. That is interesting. Under why tell this story? In Ephesians 3:4, the Apostle Paul said, when you read, you may understand my knowledge of the mystery of Christ. And when you, Paul said, not only did have I told you in sermon form or preaching, I'm writing it down so that when you read, you can understand. Somebody said, I don't understand God's word. Oh, you can. You can if you study it and ask for a little help. So like Israel in this story, we must have the desire to restore New Testament ways when the New Testament is read and we understand it. That's the lesson. So I put 6 ingredients that brought about this restoration. 6 things, and you can see them with me. I'll go through these rather quickly if you have a note. But number 1, in verse 1, all the people gathered themselves together as one man. All the people were united. All. Somebody says, oh, we can't all think alike. Well, in this story, in this Bible story, all the people did think alike. And they knew when they read something, they said, all of them agreed, we're not doing part of this. We're not living in booths. We're all keeping the Feast of Tabernacles. But they all agreed. They gathered themselves together. They were united. They began living in brush arbors for those 7 days. Same with us. We're instructed to be united in our religious thoughts and practice. Don't say that can't be done. Jesus prayed for that all religious people to think alike religiously. Jesus said Jesus' prayer in John 17:20. Don't tell me Jesus is praying for an impossibility. Don't say that. Jesus said, neither pray I for these alone, meaning the apostles, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. That's us. That, Jesus, what are you praying? I'm praying that when the apostles and other people preach the word of God, I pray that they may all be one, John means in that, Jesus says, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they, meaning the listeners to the word of God, that they also may be one in us. So just as Israel, I need to learn that, just as Israel can gather themselves together as one man, so can we religiously. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that ye, the people, be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. Does that sound like division is okay? No. It's possible for God's people to come together in the same one unified way of thinking. That's what we need to learn from this lesson. One. Number two, I need to move on. Verse two. Then Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation. Brought the law. So the authority for having booths or the final say was the law of God. One source. There wasn't any debate about what should be done. They didn't appeal to majority rule. They did not have human opinion or heartfelt ideas to determine what should be done religiously. Nor the manner in which it was done for the last 1,000 years was not taken into consideration, except to note that here's something you haven't been doing for 1,000 years. Your tradition has been wrong for 1,000 years. Get that phrase? Your tradition has been wrong, religiously wrong, for 1,000 years, but now that you read the Word of God and you see that it's wrong, you make a change. You restore. You don't keep doing the same old thing. Do you? I hope you don't. Jesus said, I want to emphasize that because people say, oh, it's just Brian talking. Jesus said in Matthew 15, verse 3, to the religious leaders, get that again? If Jesus is talking to religious leaders, he's going to say, attaboy, isn't he? Surely Jesus is going to say, good job. Oh, you're doing fine religiously because you're religious. You must be okay. Well, Jesus said in Matthew 15, verse 3, why do you transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? Why do you do that? In verse 9, but in vain do they worship me. Jesus says, your worship is useless. Jesus said it to the religious people. Your worship is useless. Because you teach a doctrine that is a commandment of a man. Wow. That's not a compliment. You see, tradition of man does not trump the Word of God. I got to hurry along. I'm getting kind of sideways here on some of these topics. I think it's important. But Jesus also said, I like this verse in John chapter 8, circle it or highlight it in your notes. Circle all of them. In John chapter 8 and verse 30, he, meaning Jesus, spake these words, and many believed on him. Oh, that's a good thing. Hell, yay, Jesus. Many believed on Jesus. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if, conditional, ye continue in my word, then are you my disciples. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. To those Jews that believed on me, he says, you know what? You have to keep doing what I say. And then and only then are you my disciples. I'm kind of like Ezra did, explaining what the verse says. rejects me and receives not my words, has one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Not your tradition, not your heartfelt feeling is not going to be your judge. Not the majority rule, not what's the popular fad, religious fad of the day. Not what even what I say is going to judge you in the last day. The word of God will judge you in the last day. That's what Ezra told you. Number three. I'll just say read these notes. Number three. He read therein before the men and women, and those that could understand, and all the ears of the people were attentive. Look what they were attentive to. Unto the book of the law. In other words, pay attention to what God says, not what someone else says. They were attentive to the book of the law, not their manual, not their personal. Today's religion, you don't need to pay attention to your creed, your manual, your catechism, your convention, your council. You don't need to pay attention to anything else. You need to be attentive, as this book said. They were attentive unto the book of the law. Number four, I have to go on. If you want to talk about this afterwards, you can. I'll meet with you. If you want more information. Verses 5 and 6. Ezra opened the book, in the sight of all the people. When he opened it, the people stood up. Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered, Amen, Amen. The people answered. They responded to what was being read in the book. They lifted up their hands. They bowed their heads. They worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. And in verse 9, it says they wept when they heard the words of the law. Because they realized, we weren't doing it right, and I need to restore, that's our lesson today, restore, put first things back in place, do that which was original, do that the way it was first done. That's what I need to do. They responded to that, that way. Now our attitude in worship should be the same. Revelation 1 verse 3 says, blessed. You want to bless him? Blessed is he that reads, and they that hear the words of the prophecy, and keep those things that are written therein. That's the summary of the lesson. Keep those things that are written therein. Number 5, verses 7 and 8. The Levites caused the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. So they read the book of the law of God distinctly and gave assent and caused them to understand. As with many things in life, the ones who understand are the ones that speak so that others may understand. One purpose of preaching or teaching is to give understanding to the listeners. Jesus did that in Luke 24, verse 45. Then opened he, meaning Jesus, there, the disciples, understanding that they might understand the Scripture. When Ethiopian is traveling, reading from Isaiah, Philip said, do you understand what you're reading? He said, how can I? He said, some man guide me. I need a teacher. I need someone to give explanation. And number 6, verse 12, and all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions and to make great mirth because they'd understood the words that were declared unto them. In other words, they put into practice what they heard. They put into practice and obeyed the law. And they were glad. So in verse 15, you have to write this. Verse 15, they brought branches from the thick trees. And in verse 16, so the people went forth and brought them and made themselves booths every one. So the city of Jerusalem and the other cities round about became branch cities for a week. Tent cities for a week. That's what they had not been doing. They taking the assembly, start assembling. If you're not taking the Lord's Supper the first day of the week, start doing that. If you haven't been baptized by immersion, you need to be baptized by immersion. That's what the book says. And that's the challenge. Will you obey the book as the book says? That's restoration. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, what you believe, for reproof, for correction. But you may be doing something religiously wrong. So you read the book to find out. For correction, for instruction. I need more information about how to worship God. That's what the book says. That's the lesson this morning. We're going to sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation, song of exhortation. Whichever will may come. Now remember the New Testament church. You've been baptized for remission of sins. We can accomplish that this morning. You've heard the good news. You believe it. Here's another recipe for salvation. You believe it, and you're willing to repent of your sins, turn your life around, confess your faith that Jesus is God's Son, you can now be baptized.